Hi, welcome to Flightware Studios podcast show. I'm your host, Robert Burton, and thank you for tuning in. It is April 25th, 2024, and wow, lots of stuff going on out in the world. Man, and we've talked about this, and that's why I'm bringing up some of the social events that are going on, because it affects all of our lives. And it's a sad state of affairs because you have so many people out protesting that can't tell you the reason why they're protesting. They're just, well, I'm supporting this. Well, why are you supporting it? You know, is it to get out of class, or is it to actually, you know, affect some sort of change? And, you know, or why, you know, if you ask them a specific thing about what's going on, they can't answer you. And the answer inevitably becomes F you. Fascist, you know, all these other, you know, words of the day. Because you don't have the knowledge, which is what we've been talking about for several episodes, and not specifically to these people, but why, for you and I, knowledge is so important. Why, for any person, knowledge is truly the most powerful thing that you have. Because no matter what side of the fence you're on, you know, I support anybody's opinion if they can articulate an opinion something better than F you. You know, I'll listen to you. If you're making an appealing argument towards a problem that I may be polar opposite of you with, then, yeah, you've earned the right for me to sit and listen, absolutely, and vice versa. And that's what I'm talking about. All my listeners and folks that follow the show, you know, that's what we're trying to do, or what I hope that you get the premise of the show, is that we're looking at becoming critical thinkers in the sense that we have the knowledge to achieve things in our life. You know, and I'm not, you know, I hate politics worse than you could ever imagine. First off, these are guys that make more money than the people within their own state. And not because they get paid that much at Washington, which actually they do. But, you know, when you got the guy that's doing the TikTok ban, I'm not a big fan of TikTok. We're on it, but we don't really use it. I mean, we tried to start a store and got absolutely no support from them at all. I mean, it was ridiculous. So, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of them, but what I am a huge fan of is there are people that are on the platform that do make money. I have colleagues that are on the platform that make good money from it. And if these girls lose it, then that's the vast majority of their income, and that's bullshit. Because at the end of the day, here's the skinny, the dude that wrote the bill, okay? Not only did he write the bill to ban TikTok, but he started buying Meta stock only days after he started writing all this. And then when it looked like, and it passed, he doubled down on what he was buying Meta stock for. This is a guy that's doing the TikTok ban, and he's buying one of its closest competitors' stock. And you're supporting destroying the competitor over, and you're disguising it under the guise of China and being able to have access to. Do you think that China's dark web people don't have access to your information? You're full of shit. Our own government has access to our full of shit, has access to our information in legal ways. They've been caught at it how many times? And now you're trying to sell us that there is some China threat? China holds enough bonds, you know, where all of our bonds for all this money that they go out and print and you and I have to pay back, hence the $95 billion that was just passed that had not one penny in it to do anything for America, but was foreign aid, but had the TikTok ban in it. I watched a guy, and there's a point to all this, and it's not getting some political rant. It's the fact that we need to be knowledgeable about our lives and where we have to look at all the things. But, you know, he said that they put all these things that Americans don't want into a bunch of bills instead of passing the TikTok ban on its own, or passing Ukraine on its own, or passing Israel on its own, going against everything that American people are saying that they don't want to happen. And the guy said they wrap it into, and they call it the little puppy package. And so they put it in the little puppy package with all these things that American people don't want. And then when the opposing side doesn't vote for it, they use the narrative, these people hate puppies. They hate puppies. Well, no, nobody hates puppies, for God. You see what I'm saying? So that's why you have to have both sides of the fence, because when you get the side that means, and this gets strongly to my point, is that when you don't have all the information and you're being told that the people on the other side of the fence don't like puppies, no, the people on the other side of the fence don't like the bullshit you're trying to shove down our throat disguised as a puppy bill. That's why you think. That's why you do your research before you make a buffoon of yourself. I was watching kids, because I am in Texas. I was watching kids on the University of Texas campus on local television, and this one kid was standing in front of Austin police, and he was flipping them off, saying, "F you, get off my campus." And so not only is that video going to follow this young man around forever, okay, because once it's on the internet, baby, it's there. So, you know, and so when he goes to find a job, for example, and they do any sort of investigative background check on this young man, go into social media and see what they can find, and this thing comes up, and you're standing there screaming at the top of your lungs with a hoarse voice, you can tell it in his voice that he's been screaming so loud and hard, saying, "F you, get off my campus," supporting things that, where if he went to a predominantly Jewish-owned business, imagine that. But more importantly, you know, you can argue so many things. Yes, they have the right to protest in their way, but there again, this gets back down to nobody's really articulating a point. The only thing you see, and maybe it's just the news coverage, but all you see is the F-bombs and the fascists and, you know, all of these things that I had to get a drink of water because I was about to cough. You know, that just don't get anything done. It's just things where you're looking a little bit off the kilter here, and this is all shit that's going to follow you for the rest of your life. I support your right to protest, but make a point. You know? And when you're trying to get people to come to your, you know, because here's what happens is that they ask these kids, "Why are you here? What are you supporting? Aren't we here for Israel? Aren't we here for, oh, we're here for Palestine?" Or, "Well, I don't know. They're just being mean over there. They need to stop." What? They're being mean and they need to stop. Well, okay. What does "they're being mean" mean? Well, I don't know. They're killing women and children. They're killing women and children on both sides. What are you talking about? War's an ugly, ugly, ugly thing. Maybe the better argument is maybe, you know, why are we funding wars? Why? Because really, and you got senators and congressmen coming out and saying the same thing. That money doesn't actually go to the country. It goes to the industrial military complex. It goes to Raytheon, and it goes to all these people that, what is their business? Their business is war. They're not making things to better society. They're making better ways to kill mass amounts of people in the most efficient and inexpensive way they can. How in the fuck is that noble? There's my F-bomb. So there's when you dig down, and this is, again, drills down to another point, is when you look at it from a longer lens and look deeper, then all of a sudden you start seeing what the real issues are. And that's what I'm talking about. When you're self-educating and self-teaching yourself and being able to make decisions that are informed, how much better is your life going to be? For me, if I want to write a story or do something, if I research just one side of the, you know, if I go in and I demonize everybody because they don't like puppies because the puppy bill is wrapped around all this killing and hate, and all these people voted because they didn't want the killing and hate. They want to protect the puppies, but there's killing and hate intertwined in the puppy bill. So that's why we look at, we can have, like I said, it doesn't matter whether you're Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, Independent, however you want to see your political views, or just your personal views at all. Are you following what the herd says? And are you listening to people that have packaged everything in this puppy bill so they can demonize their opponents? That's not how you win the popular vote. That's how you cheat to win. Anybody can cheat and win. Because you're doing things in an unfair way that blind some of the folks to see the real truth. So wouldn't you rather have the real truth? And that's my point in all of the things that we've been talking about in a bunch of the last episodes about educating ourselves and, you know, utilizing good information, listening to opposing views, and then drilling down to see, is this all wrapped in a little puppy blanket to make me think that these people over here are demons? Because when you think about it, you were duped. You were absolutely duped. Bamboozled, lied to. And that is what we don't want to be. Again, I don't profess to tell you what side of the fence from which you need to shout your word, but make sure that when you're shouting your word, to say, hey, this is what I see and this is what I do, do it from an informed point of view. Don't do it from these demons with their puppies. They don't like puppies. Oh my God, how could you support people that don't like puppies? Because even if you do support money for all these wars, you know, a lot of that money could have been spent right here at home. It could secure our border. Because what's sad is it's going to take some catastrophic event. Because I've been to the border. I've seen people that are coming across. And yes, there are on occasion and early on were families, but they ain't families no more. And they're not coming through our southern border via terrorist states and other bad actors towards the United States. So it's, you know, knowledge is the most powerful tool you have. And I wish these young people on these campuses would gain that knowledge and learn how to govern their passions and their emotions to a point that they can make a point that people can get behind. People don't get behind ultimatums. They don't get behind crazy. They get behind people as, man, did you hear those kids talking today at XYZ College? Damn, were they smart. Damn, they came prepared to play. Otherwise, we're just watching you get torn off your campus in handcuffs, tear gas. Not that that's been deployed, but, you know, does anybody, most of these young kids need to go look at Kent State, Berkeley, at protesting that ended up in god-awful violence. And that's not the way, that's not the path. Because so many anti-war protests, and guess what we still have? War. All those violent anti-war protests, and guess what we still have? War. So, if you're going to come and come at them with a solution. Come at them with a talking point that they can't deny. Oh, damn, these people are a little smarter than we gave them. We thought we were just going to get a whole bunch of fuck you rhetoric, throw them in jail, and give them a record for the rest of their life. Charge them with a felony so they can't hold certain jobs or get move anywhere beyond anything. Let's say you want to work in the aerospace business and you have felony convictions. How are you ever going to get any sort of security clearance? You're not. FBI is never going to grant it. Because you made poor choices in your rhetoric. That's why I'm saying you can have your opinion. Just do it from a position of strength, not weakness. And when you give your strength away to people who are going to turn it into your weakness, doesn't it make sense to learn a couple of things? Do a little deeper digging before you go blah, 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 blah. And the next thing you know, you're in zip tie handcuffs and you're on your way to jail. And you're on your way to getting charged. Oh, you'll get out and there's going to be a thing, but guess what you have? And let's say later they even drop it. But that arrest is still there. And if it's a felony, that felony arrest is still there. Just because they drop the charges doesn't mean the shit goes away from the government's computer, because it don't. Oh, I didn't know that. Well, if you had done some research on the ramifications of your actions, you might know that. Again, getting back to my point, knowledge is power. Don't give away your power so it can later be used against you to shut you up. Make sense? I hope so. Because again, I support 1,000% your right, anybody's right to protest, but do it a smart way. Don't be stupid. Don't get yourself in trouble, because again, if you get yourself in trouble, guess what that's going to do? It's going to give them ammunition, give the opposing side permission to fuck with your life as much and as often as they want. and don't think it don't happen. So, I hope that, and the reason that I'm talking about these events is, again, I hate politics beyond anything you could ever fucking imagine. It's the most disgusting, vile thing I've ever seen. Because they all talk through their hat. All you hear is a bunch of talking. And they all sit up there and they get richer and richer and richer and richer. And this was supposed to be about public service. So they can go vote on shit that fucks with your life and then go down and get a free haircut. If fat cats make huge mistakes, or if government fucks up in some major way over some incompetent bullshit, you know who pays for that? They say, well, we're going to have to do this bailout and we're going to have to do it. The American taxpayer, the American tax dollars. Your tax dollars are going to pay for people's reckless behavior. So if you know these things, then you can articulate a way, a solution to a problem. And what you're hearing more and more of out on the social media chatter is term limits. Career politicians were not what the founding fathers had intended. You're only supposed to be in office for a set amount of time, not for a lifetime. Why do you think presidents can only be there for 4 years unless they get reelected to 8? When originally it was supposed to be, I guess, a year or 4 years. It wasn't supposed to be all those big terms. I think Congress was 4 years, and I think Senate was 6, but I can't swear to all that. I'm not a social scholar, but I do know, I've done enough research to know that it wasn't supposed to be for a lifetime. Because, you do your bit, and then you got a bunch of new guys come in and let them do their bit. New, fresh ideas. Wow, that's a novel thought. So, I wanted to, in the last part of the show, talk about, because what's happening in this, I thought this was poignant, was I wrote a book called Productivity Versus Busy Work, Get Shit Done. And what these rioters, what these protesters are doing, and what it's turning into is some small little riot-y type situations, is busy work. It's absolute busy work because it gets nothing done. Oh, they're going to fuck up the campus and they're going to, you know, do all these things and say that we're holding the school hostage until they do this, or, you know, I'm sorry, but none of that shit's, no. Good try. But if you want to get real support behind you and make real change, then we need to do things that produce some productivity, which produces a result. You know, so to sound off for this is, feel like you're always busy, yet have little to show for your immense efforts. And that's my point. You had all of those huge, huge, huge anti-war events during Vietnam. College campuses were going crazy. And guess what? We still have war. It didn't change a thing. Because we need to change things from where wars begin. College campus ain't where it begins. I support anybody's right to stand up at City Hall and say, fuck you, this ain't right. But when you once you said, fuck you, this ain't right, what's your plan? Because obviously these assholes ain't got a hoot in hell to figure out what to do, because they ain't fixing it because you're pissed off. So if they're not fixing it and you're pissed off, what's the answer? Because they broke it. Now you want them to go fix it? Are you kidding me? They fucking broke it. They're too stupid to fix it. And they ain't going to fix it because it goes against their what they're there to achieve. It's broke for a reason. So you have to figure out, if it's broke for a reason, what's the reason, and how can I step in front of this reason and stop it? How can I mobilize enough force in the sense that I have enough backing from people, I have enough backing from public sentiment, I have enough backing from a legal standpoint, that you stop them dead in their tracks? Because just screaming about it, they're laughing their ass off in their eating popcorn, watching you get your head busted in by a riot cop who doesn't give a fuck about you, who was told that whatever it takes, get them the fuck off the campus. Yes, all that's horrible, all that's bad, and it sucks. So do we focus on productivity or busy work? Because what you're doing is busy work. It ain't getting shit done. In the frenzied days, crammed with emails, meetings, admin, tasks, and fighting fires to leave you exhausted but not fulfilled, it's time to flip-flop the script. In the art of intentional productivity, intentional productivity. You have to be intentional in your words. Your words have to be backed up by things that make sense. So you have to be, or have to learn to break free of cultural chains tethering talent to shallow your priorities. And your sense of these cultural things would be in the sense of, I'm following all my classmates into the belly of the beast with no battle plan, no outcome. And trust me, the people that you're battling, they have a battle plan. They have a strategy, and they're ready and willing to take you on, and you're not going to win. Sorry, you're just not, because you're going against a force that's absolutely prepared, absolutely focused, and absolutely in power of you, unless you learn how to break down that power through reasonable, articulable means and get a real force behind you, not a dangerous force, but a real force behind you where they have to listen. You can do all the busy little shit you want, but at the end of the day, what's your outcome? What's your direct result? And that's why I think so many of these young people, they don't have enough life experience yet to know to do that. And that's what their opponents are counting on. All the power brokers are big going, they're punk kids. They're not going to do shit. They're going to raise a bunch of hell. We're going to toss their little asses in jail. We're going to fuck with their lives for a little while and hopefully scare them away. Because they ain't going to want none of that no more. And what you as a young person need to realize, or what as any person needs to realize, is that when you go poke the bear, you better have an escape and evasion plan that mitigates what you're about to go through. So productivity versus busy work. Get shit done. And I'm telling you, you will be a formidable person. Someone that people are going to take notice of. Because the problem is that nobody's going to listen to you screaming an F-bomb. You may be that mad, and you have every right to be that mad. So many of the things that are going on, yeah, they're absolutely worthy of an F-bomb. Absolutely worthy of an F-bomb. But it's going to get to a point where an F-bomb's not what it is, not going to get you anywhere. It's just not. So I hope that you will consider the things that we're talking about, and I hope that I know we got a little bit more political than I normally would like to do, because again, I can't stand politics. It just absolutely is the most nauseating shit ever, because it's predominantly filled with people that do not give a fuck about me and you. So, hang on, I'm looking for something here, and I can't find it. It's pissing me off. But so this makes a good point. So if I sit here and I can't find what I'm looking for, so if I start screaming obscenities at what I'm looking at, is it going to help me find it any faster if I get totally wigged out over what I'm looking for here? Is it going to help me do anything other than get more frustrated and not find what the hell I'm looking for? It's probably going to make sure that I don't find what I'm looking for, because clearer heads prevail. And we've talked about that in previous episodes, that absolutely, if you can think about what you're doing in a calm, cool, and collected way, guess what happens? Results start coming in. Ideas start coming in, because you're working from a place of a calm mind. So that's that. Let me see. And see, I'm still remaining calm, and I still can't find what I'm looking for. And I may not find what I'm looking for, which is a totally pain in the butt, because I really, really, really needed it, but that's okay. So we'll move on. And when you can gain all your faculties that you need and remain totally calm in the pits of hell, I'm telling you, you will absolutely, absolutely be very formidable. And you will be able to do some amazing things in your life. And that's what this whole podcast is about. It's not about the political issues of the day. The reason that I'm using them is because you can apply the things that we're learning here to those, to real life. You know? And that's what I think has more impact than anything at all, is now you can see this in action, is the what if becomes real. What if I did make, what if I gathered crowds like I have on the campus? I'm able to not sing songs and sing Kumbaya and all the other bullshit that you hear, or get off our campus, dun, 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 get off our campus. Okay, what's your solution? You don't want to be in war? Okay, well, How do you back out of it? How do you get two warring parties who absolutely hate people, the opposing side, to the point that they want to eradicate them from the earth? They don't want to hear about how to live in peace. They just want to obliterate each other. So how are you going to stop that war unless they learn to live in some semblance of peace? So the real question becomes, one side or the other, nobody wants to die the entire species. Imagine saying that a group of people is now extinct forever. How could anybody ever want to celebrate that? But there would be those who would. So the real question becomes, if you really want to effect any sort of change that doesn't include the extinction of a human species, how do you get two people that hate each other beyond measure in words to come together and say, we got to live in peace. I hate you. You hate me. Okay, great. You want me to burn in hell? I want you to burn in hell. Okay. But we're all here. There's millions of us. And we got to figure out a way to live in peace. That becomes the real question. That's harder than going to war. Is living in peace. It's easy to get a bunch of people riled up and say, hey, you need to go kill these people because they're going to kill you. Under the guise of some sort of patriotism, which people will defend their home to the death. And that's an understandable thing. But again, here we are. The hard, tough question, the elephant in the room is, you have two sets of folks that hate each other's guts beyond measure. So do we sit down and do we figure out a way to have some tolerance? Do we figure out a way to have some peace? Do we figure out a way? You know, if you set out, here's the thing. Before children are indoctrinated into any sort of religious belief or background or family beliefs and things like that, if you set a whole bunch of kids out on the playground, you know what they're going to do? They're going to play. It's not going to matter where they are, who they are. It doesn't matter if they're Christian, Islamic, if they're Jewish, Hindu, doesn't matter. You're going to set little children out there, and you know what they're going to do? They're going to play. Because they don't have any preconceived notions about each other. You guys have seen the two little kids that one's black and one's white, and when they see each other, they get so excited, and they run to each other, and they hug. Because they weren't told to hate each other. Why? Because they're just two human beings. They're just two folks. So why don't we start there? We're just folks. Because at the end of the day, everybody wants the same thing. They want a healthy family, a happy home. They want, you know, people to not fuck with them, i.e. government. And they want to live in peace, prosperity. They want to laugh. They want to watch their kids grow. They want to have grandbabies so they can spoil them rotten. They want to see their sons and daughters do well, be successful. There's where you start, at least in my mind. But if I don't understand, maybe you do some cultural exchanges. Maybe you have you know, back in when I was in school, they had kids come from around the world to go to school with us for a year and live with a family for a year. And it was cool. I mean, we had a student from Finland, I believe, when I was a kid. It's been a long time since I was in, I think it was junior high, maybe my freshman year in high school. I think it was my freshman year in high school. And, you know, we all hung out with this kid. He played sports with us. You know, it was cool. We learned about him, he learned about us, and we had a great time. So when you think about things in a from a perspective of you know, let's take out all the bullshit and just be those kids that play on the playground. How do we get to know each other better from that point? Because those kids are playing on the playground, again, I go back to because they weren't told any different. They weren't taught any differently. That ought to be an eye-opener for you as well. Hate's not something that you're born with. Hate's something you're taught. Extremism isn't something you're born with. It's something you're taught. And proof positive, you put a room full of toddlers together, and you know what they're all going to do? They're all going to play. You know, I don't know how much more clear I can make that. And those are places that you start from. That's my point. And if in when you're thinking in a way that's open-hearted, open-minded, objectively, then you can sit there and go, wow, that might be a good place to start. And that's why learning is so, so vitally important. Why critical thinking is so vitally important. Is when you learn about all sides of an issue. Because think about it, these kids are going to learn each other's, they're going to learn about it as they grow, they're going to learn about each other's family if they're left to just do that, if they're left to just be friends. And they have no ideological bullshit shoved down their throat, but they're left to naturally grow up as friends with no planting of expectation, but it's allowed to flower and bloom on its own. Where would that go? Interesting thought. So, I hope that this has been eye-opening in the sense that, you know, when you think about things from a cool head, cool perspective, you can get a whole lot more done than going out on your campus or wherever and raising 20 kinds of hell that's not going to do anything except potentially screw up your life. But you could indeed have a way to affect real change. And it all starts with a good story. Not a fictional story, but a good story. Something that makes people think, damn, I didn't think of it that way. Maybe we should stop this bullshit. Hang on. You know, then all of a sudden, you're building on something that has a real foundation. Fuck you is not a real foundation. Fascist pig is not a real foundation. A real foundation is, wait a minute, this makes sense. We can live together, we could do this harmoniously, we could, you know, and make the point and go from there. All right. I hope that, again, that you're getting something out of how important knowledge and all of the things that we've been talking about in the last few episodes It's something that obviously you can see I'm incredibly passionate about, something I've been writing a lot about. So I truly hope that this is something, because it does help me. So this is Flight Risk Studios, our podcast show, and please follow the link in our bio. It will take you where you can see my Amazon author page. We have a merch store, got all kinds of cool, funny shit in there that I sold a lot of funny t-shirts. And for example, we just published a t-shirt and I thought it was a pretty funny statement. And it says, if we slept together, you may be entitled to compensation. So, you know, you see all those things, you know, if you drank, you know, Coca-Cola, you may be entitled to compensation, you know, whatever. I mean, it's just kind of a play on a terrible situation, but sometimes we just need to smile and laugh and be able to laugh, even if it's a little off color. So I hope that you'll take a look at all those things, because I do have, and there's a lot of funny things in there, you know. And what else? YouTube, Rumble, we got everything's posted and up. So, man, I just hope that you will have a incredible rest of your day, evening, or morning. And I appreciate you tuning into the show very much. This is Robert Bruton saying bye for now.